Well, up first on this Wednesday afternoon, we welcome back to the show and the studio our friend Sean Latch from the Versant Power Astronomy Center and Jordan Planetarium at the University of Maine. Welcome back, and let me be the first to say happy birthday.
Ah, well, thank you so much.
I mean, not to you.
Not mine, but So the planetarium, of course, we're very excited, getting ready to celebrate our 70th anniversary or 70th birthday, whichever way you want to look at it. But Saturday, we're going to be doing some special events, three special programs in the afternoon at 3:30, 5, and 7:30. So we'll be showing Spark, the Universe in Us, also Worlds Beyond Earth, and, of course, Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon, one of those planetarium favorites. But there will be some special things with each of those shows, so I encourage folks to get their tickets early and come out and join us. We'll be having some special things that show a bit of our history over the time that the planetarium was there. We were the 9th university planetarium to open back in 1954 in October, 3 years before Sputnik. So the planetarium has sort of been around, and we're probably in the first 20 planetariums in the United States to open as well. So,
well, I was going to ask that. I can't imagine there were a lot of universities, colleges that had their own planetarium back in the day.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was one of those things that, like I say, we were the 9th one, and planetariums, of course, actually turn 100 this year. The optical or projection planetarium turns 100 this year. And the first one in the United States was Adler Planetarium, which opened in 1930. And then shortly after there, you know, slowly but surely, they started opening some others. But yeah, University of Maine was early in the process. Like I say, 9th university to have a planetarium here in the U.S. and in the first 20 planetariums in the nation. So we were sort of one of those early adopters, if you will, which is good.
I wonder if there's anybody around. I mean, they obviously would be up there, but anybody around who was there for the opening?
Yeah, I don't think there's anyone who's still around from, you know, from that time, at least from what we, you know, we tried to do a bunch of research in that area. But there are some folks who, you know, at least were with the, you know, saw the an original planetarium and of course, were involved in its early days. So we'll have a few of those folks for a special activity on Saturday as well.
Well, that's very cool. Well, a happy anniversary to the planetarium, a wonderful asset to our community in the area, and so excited to see you celebrating and many more.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we're hoping, in fact, one of the big things with this is we're going to be kicking off a capital campaign, trying to raise funds to upgrade our facility. We opened with 4K technology 10 years ago. It's also the 10th anniversary of the new building. And we're hoping to do some upgrades and refresh and sort of take us forward. So we're hoping to push for an upgrade to 8K technology. So be doing a capital campaign for probably the next year, year and a half or so. We'll see. But hoping to really refresh and shine up and take us to that next level, if you will.
Very nice. And of course, as we roll into the new month of November, all kinds of new programs. The Friday night show, Global Soundscapes.
Yeah, Global Soundscapes, Mission to Record Earth. This is a program that takes a look at sound and the environment of sound, how we use sound to understand the world around us. And so it's a very participatory program in many ways. There's some fun props involved, including a cymbal and a tuning fork and a whole variety of other things. But we'll be talking about soundscapes and how they work. And on the 15th of the month, we actually have some folks here in Maine from the Island Soundscape Project who will be talking about how they're using soundscapes here in the state of Maine. Mm-hmm. So really looking forward to this program. And again, just shows that, you know, we do, of course, astronomy, but there's lots of other things that we can do at the planetarium. And this is another one of those examples of that.
Sunday afternoon shows in the month of November, Polaris, Mystery of the Polar Night.
Yeah, that program is a fun one, a fun family favorite. We take a look at the length of day and night and how that changes in its extremes at the poles of the Earth, like the North and South Pole. So you join Vladimir the Penguin and James the Polar Bear, and you get to explore a little bit about that and ice in the solar system as well and how it is unique in some other areas of our solar system. So a fun program for the family.
And the music show in November, Attention Swifties.
Yeah, again, that's one that we had earlier, last year, and it was a big hit, so we decided to bring it back for rotation. So Enchanted, Taylor Swift musical journey. Our student who's worked on that has added a couple new songs to it and, you know, done some updating, so it should be a lot of fun. And we're really excited. Of course, that typically is a program that sells out early. So I tell folks, get tickets early. And this time, unlike the last run where we could add second shows easily, we actually do have some things that butt up against it afterwards. Because Beautifica, the sort of that special program, we had Mesmerica before, and this is sort of the second round of that. But that's sort of an interesting program that we're having. It's sort of they come in and sort of rent our facility, but they're going to be doing that on some Sunday evenings in November. So, yeah. Well, if you want to see Taylor Swift, make sure you get those tickets early.
Speaking of getting tickets early and planning ahead, and whether it's going to events at the planetarium or at the VersaPower Astronomy Center or field trips, I got to think December, that time of year, is one of your busier times. People might want to plan ahead for that.
Yeah, I mean, our busiest field trip season typically is sort of, I would say, February through about June or so, through early June. It's the spring that's really busy. We do have a number of school groups in fall, but it really ramps up after, you know, in the, you know, sort of the second half of the school year, academic year, if you will. That being said, we have some great scholarship opportunities for schools who want to come in fall. So I highly encourage folks, if you want to bring your school and you might need a little bit of assistance to do that, contact us now, because fall is a really good time to get in and check it out. Speaking of fall and Halloween, I hope you're not too scared about what's happening on Saturday night.
What's happening Saturday night?
The clocks fall back.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry.
Actually, I don't want to change the time at all. I'd like to pick one and stick with it. But of the two, I actually kind of like this one. I find it much easier to adapt to.
Standard time? Yeah. And I would go a step further in that. What I would like to see happen is I really wish that we would stop the switching of the time zones. There's really no need to do that in the modern age. But also, Maine, I'm sorry, we should be in Atlantic time.
Yes.
We're far enough east. We should be in Atlantic time. It's kind of ridiculous that we're in Eastern time. You know, you look at Rio, which is directly south of us, and they're in Atlantic time, and as are several other places. So it is definitely one of those things that, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, it would be better if we were in Atlantic time. If we were in Atlantic Standard Time, that would be perfect. But, you know, I know it's one of those things.
I would, you know, I've come around on that. I think Bill Green has suggested that for many years, and I wasn't sold on it. But the more I think about it, it makes sense.
It does, just given how far east we are, and it would make a huge difference, particularly at this time of year.
Yes.
You know, so I really do think that it would be better if we were in Atlantic time. But, you know, and even I've said, too, even if they would shift the time zones a half hour and then just lock it, that would be wonderful as well. But, you know.
You know, if you look at it, my parents used to call me and say, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, you know, it's dark. We got the stove going. It's not dark here." I said, "Yeah, you're in the same time zone, but you live in Florida. You're south of Ohio." Right? You know, I am closer to Newfoundland than you are me. You know, I like Atlanta. It seems right for the body rhythm. Yeah. Whatever. I love being in Atlanta.
Well, when I lived in Hawaii, of course, you know that it's one of the states that doesn't change. They're always on standard time, which is, but again, you don't notice that much of a change in the length of day, too, because you're near the equator. You're 19 degrees north where we were at the time. And, you know, basically you go from roughly about, I don't know, maybe 13 hours of daylight. There's not a lot of big change. Unlike, you know, in the mid-latitudes like we are. Well, yeah, or even farther north. I know when I lived in the Netherlands, that was a different story altogether. I mean, in winter, the sun, you know, wouldn't rise until around 9 a.m., and then by around 2:30, it was setting.
Yeah.
You know, but then in summer, you were outside, you know, till 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and it was still light, which was wonderful. So,
remember St. John's Eve in the Aran Islands, seeing just that little strip of daylight.
Yeah.
It never completely went away, and at about 2 o'clock in the morning, up it came, and
white nights if you get far enough north.
Well, speaking of the skies, what can we look forward to? What's up in the skies that we'll see in the month of November?
So right now, planets are starting to come back into prominence. We have Venus that's visible in the southwestern sky right away after sunset. I know Bruce and I were talking about the comet earlier. The comet is sort of fading. You still might have a little bit of a chance to see it, but it is kind of fading down at this point over in your southwestern sky. right away after sunset as well. And then a little bit later into the evening, around 8:30, 9 o'clock, Jupiter's going to rise over in the southeast. And with Venus and Jupiter, those are sort of the, you know, the third and fourth brightest things we see in our sky. So exceptionally bright. Also in November, we have the Leonid meteor shower towards the end of the month. That's a meteor shower that every 33 years storms. Last time did so was around 99, 2000. So we've got a little bit of a time for that. But there still should be around 15, 20 meters an hour in your early morning skies towards the end of the month as well. So something to check out.
There we go. Excellent. Thank you, Sean, as always. Happy anniversary. And we'll see you again in about a month.
Sounds great.
Sean Latch, Versant Power Astronomy Center, Jordan Planetarium at the University of Maine.